I'm Noah.
I'm Eddie, and this is the Cosa Nostra.
And today we are talking about 1995's Toy Story. It's been 30 years since this landmark movie came out. So let's get into it. So when was the first time you saw it?
I actually can't remember. It was a long time ago. It's a childhood movie.
Yeah.
I think most people...
Actually, no, not for me. I grew up with a lot of Pixar movies. I grew up with Monsters, Inc.,
oh,
The
Monsters
Incredibles, Cars, like every other child did.
Cars is... I will never understand the hate for Cars 2.
Okay, but I don't want to get into that
Cars
movie.
2 is fine.
Let's just leave it at, like, I don't understand the thought process of going from a racing NASCAR movie to Spy. I don't care.
8 on me loved it so much.
But, yeah, so this
Not
movie
eight,
was...
Six.
Directed by John Lasseter. Okay. And it's the... Yikes, indeed. Yikes. I'm not going to get into it here. You do your own research for that. But it stars Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Jim Varney, Ollie Ermey, Annie Potts, Wallace Shawn, and John Ratzenberger. A lot of people who'd be in a lot of Pixar movies in the future. Okay. So do you... Like, most of this... Because what else can I really say that hasn't been said about this movie? I am just genuinely surprised by the quality of this movie. Like, not only the animation, but just, like, how good the writing is, how good the voice acting is. Everything just comes together to be, like, in my opinion, a very near-perfect movie. So, okay, first of all, do you know, like, I feel it's really, it's a thing that a lot of people know, but do you know, like, the like, where Pixar started out from?
It was A113, right?
Well, okay, let's just clarify that. A113 was the room where it was the room in California Institute of the Arts where, like, most of the original animators, and that's why you see in, like, many movies, not even just Pixar movies, but just so many. But Pixar was a computer division at Lucasfilm. So, yes, it was made by George Lucas to help them with the production of movies like Star Trek 2. And then, like, Steve Jobs bought it. And then they spun off to make short films like Andre and Wally B, Nick Knack, stuff like that. Luxo Jr., which is where you get the lamp from, and Tintoy. Now, Luxo Jr. got nominated for the Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film, the first CGI anything too. Then Tintoy won it. But Pixar wasn't making any money, even at this point. So they started doing commercials for like Tropicana and stuff like that. But they still weren't making any money. But then Disney hired them to create something called the CAP system, which is a way in how they digitally... They started... Originally, animated movies were ink and painted on, like, celluloid sheets. But then Pixar created the CAP system where you can transfer the drawings onto a computer and just animate it from there. But even that didn't bring in the money. And, like, so... Do you know anything about John Lasseter? Because he is very important to this story.
No.
Never heard of him.
I've seen the film. I haven't done any research about it.
Well, he directed your favorite movie called Cars 2, so we can thank him for that.
Did he direct Cars 2?
Yeah.
I don't
talk about a fall off.
But I don't understand the hate. Cars 2 is
okay.
Fine.
Do you want to just read? Because I don't.
I love.
Do you want to read what he did? Because I'm not gonna get into
it. I love Michael Caine. And Michael Caine is in Cars 2.
I never realized he was in that movie, but like
he's the British spy cop.
I've not seen Cars 2.
And it's amazing, and there's the Tracksuit Mafia, but they're all like Fiat 500s.
And still, it's less embarrassing than when he was in Jaws: The Revenge, but it's not getting to that.
Shit. Yeah.
But yeah, he directed Toy Story, A Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Cars, and Cars 2. And after leaving Pixar for reasons, I don't want to leave it at that, but like, yeah, really? He leads like this studio called Skydance Animation, which is, yeah, he doesn't really deserve to lead a studio after what he
does. Skydance are quite successful.
No, they've made like two really mediocre movies. But
what do they make?
Luck and Spellbound, two movies. I
think the Skydance Animation is Skydance.
Yeah, the Skydance it's a subsidiary. Animation. Yeah. But, so John Lasseter was a worker at Disney, and he was part of that cohort who came to Disney, like, from in the 1970s, along with people like Tim Burton and Brad Bird, while Disney was on life support, and they needed people, like, in the studio. And he got really interested in the idea of CGI ever since he saw Tron. which, you know, that was Disney's own movie.
Tron. There's a new one coming out, right?
Yeah, Tron Ares. I don't really know how the other
which
Tron
is what
did,
Trevor so. Ross and Trevor Ross and Atticus Reza, right?
Yeah.
Who right. did Link to another movie? They did Social Network soundtrack really. And Challenger soundtrack.
Have you seen any of them? Like, I'll get to them at some point, but like,
yeah. I haven't actually listened to Nine Inch Nails. I think I'm more of a guitar rock band, and they're quite technological. I'll give it a go sometime. We'll get around to it.
But yeah, so ever since he saw Tron, he was so interested in the idea of CGI animation. And with an animator called Glenn Keane, he made a test animation based on the Where the Wild Things Are. You could find it online. It was this thing where they would have a computer-generated background plus, and you put the normal Disney animation on top of it to blend it together. So it's pretty cool. But when John Lasseter showed this to the heads of Disney at the time, including the CEO, Ron Miller, they did not like it because in their words, the animation not only didn't blend very well, but to make a movie like this, it would have cost a lot of money in their eyes. Mm. So what did they do? Well, they fired John Lasseter. And let's just say this isn't the last time he'd be let go by Disney. But then Ed Catmull, who was the head at Pixar at the time, and Ed Catmull was the person who made the first ever CGI short film anything. I think it's called A Computer Animated Hand. I'd have to look because I'm not too good with my computer stuff. Like, but he made a computer. Yeah, it's called A Computer Animated Hand. You've probably seen it before. But it was like the first time anybody saw like computer animated anything before. And he was like a computer wizard. So he hired John Lasseter because Pixar wanted to do more than just create special effects. They wanted to create actual animated like characters and things, but none of the people there knew how to animate. So they were able to get John Lasseter to come in there and teach them how to animate. And then, of course, you had Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs had just came off the failure of the Apple III, the Apple III computer that kind of crashed and burned on the market. And he wanted to like rebound onto something. So he ended up not only buying Pixar, but investing a lot of money into them. So, and then in, I think 1990, Disney tried to lure John Lasseter away from Pixar to make animated movies there, but John Lasseter stayed with Pixar. And then but Pixar wanted to make like a special based on the Tin Toy short that they made. And Disney was like, okay, instead of just making a 30-minute special, let's just make a movie. So that is just like the really abbreviated version of just like the complete history of Pixar. So, Toy Story. What do you think of the voice cast in this movie?
I think it's really good. Like, Tom Hanks is really, really good in it. I mean, he's really good at most things.
Do you know who they originally wanted for this movie?
No.
Okay, the original idea for this movie, and tell me if you think it's any good. They originally wanted Woody to be played by Paul Newman and Buzz to be played by Jim Carrey to kind of have this old Hollywood new... Yeah.
Paul Newman's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he'd be
and
in Cars.
Also, The Outsiders.
Really? Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know The Outsiders? The opening line of the book, The Outsiders, is I only had two things on my mind. Paul Newman and a Fresh Ride or something like that. Paul Newman, he's kind of a Hollywood legend.
Yeah.
For teenage movies.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing.
James Dean was Sundance
Kid.
He was a Western kind of guy.
No, that was James Dean, who did... Rebel Without a
No,
Cause.
That is definitely James Dean. But like, yeah, that was the original idea. They wanted to have Paul Newman and Jim Carrey in the movie. It's kind of
good, though.
Yeah, I get it. I get where they're coming from. But like, at the same time, like, at this time, you got to keep in mind, Tom Hanks was a pretty easy person to get. Because Tom Hanks wasn't Tom Hanks yet. Like, during production of this movie, like, he had done, like, popular movies like Splash, Turner and Hooch, Big, Sleepless in Seattle, like that. But he wasn't like megastar Tom Hanks. He was yet to do Forrest Gump, which would be 1994.
I don't think that was his biggest movie. Though.
It was his biggest movie. No, and then in 1995, the same...
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, that's 1998. That's 1998. But the same year as Toy Story, he would do Apollo 13. which would absolutely blow him up. So we weren't in prime Tom Hanks just yet, you know.
Philadelphia.
This was but it was before Philadelphia, and that's when he won his Academy Award, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Philadelphia's really good. And Forrest Gump, obviously.
Oh, apparently Forrest Gump was before. It says 94 here.
Well, you got to keep in mind, animated movies take a long time to make.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So I'm thinking 93.
Yeah.
So they got him. And then you also had Tim Allen. Okay. I've got a list of all the people they wanted to be Buzz Lightyear.
What's the hate for Forrest Gump? So many people hate
him. Oh, it's, they kind of got the thing about like it being like
a trip through American history.
Yeah, I and like kind of, really it's kind of like a not glorification, but like it's very slimming down of like everything that happened. They, like, for example, they never even touch on like the civil rights movement. All they ever touch on is the Black Panther, and it's like, it's very like, do exactly what people tell you, and you'll be fine in life.
And it is good movie though.
It's a really good movie. But yeah, okay. Here's all the people they wanted to be. Bill Murray. Not Bill Murray. The people they wanted to be Buzz Lightyear. They wanted Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, Jim Carrey, Jason Alexander, Dan Aykroyd, Matthew Broderick, Kevin Costner, Michael J. Fox, Richard Greer, David Hasselhoff, Michael Keaton, Wayne Knight, Bill Paxton, Dennis Quaid, Kurt Russell, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler as Buzz.
That is like 15 people and they all said no.
Do they just want to list, like, the most recent famous comedians?
I guess. And at this time, Tim Allen was on a
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah, like, I don't know, like... And at the time, Tim Allen was on probably the biggest show in the world at the time, Home Improvement. I've never seen Home Improvement. But it was the most popular show at the time.
Was Friends not on at this time?
No, this is before Friends. And yeah, in terms of ratings, everybody, it was either Married with Kids or Married with Children, or Home Improvement. And yeah, they got him to do it. And that you can show that Billy Crystal has always said that he regrets turning down this movie because there is a test that they did with him as Buzz Lightyear. And it's taken from, they used the audio from When Harry Met Sally. And
Crystal later, Mike.
Yeah, there's a really good story about that. But you've got the
Mike Wazowski is one of Pixar's. Have you seen the running joke where on all of the Monsters Inc. merch?
I know. The sticker would be over the face on Disney Plus. I kid you not. Whenever Monsters Inc. pops up and like you've just like finished watching a movie, the movie little bar is still there, and they put it over his face.
It's intentional at this point.
I know, it is so funny, but they have, I can show you, like...
No matter what it is, it's like, it'll be Mike Wazowski's cupcakes, like the packet, and there will be the sales sticker over it.
So, that is the test that they had for...
Why does he do the Italian hands?
So that was the test that they showed to him, and he said no. But when this movie came out, and we'll get into it, was a massive success, he said he regretted it so much. But when Monsters Inc. was coming around, John Lasseter called up his wife and, well, not his wife, I'm sorry, called up the phone and then the wife picked. And then his wife gave the phone to Billy Crystal and she was like, John Lasseter's on the phone. And all he did was pick up and say yes. So like, and there you go, you got Mike Wazowski, which, you know, everything turned out pretty great.
Who plays Sully in Monsters
Inc.? My boy, John Goodman.
John Goodman being of...
Matinee, The Big Lebowski, you know, a lot of famous stuff. The Emperor's New Groove, you know, a lot of stuff.
Emperor's New Groove is
so good.
Such a good movie. I feel like Disney kind of, it happens a lot, Disney forgets that its best movies exist.
Yeah. Well, you know.
No, that's not, but like, Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, we're not going to get into like, but.
I love God, Meet the Robinsons. Also, why are we making live action Lilo and Stitch when Meet the Robinsons?
That's what I'm thinking, it's sitting right there, take it. Like,
it's not beloved enough to become like an absolute massacre if it goes wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be really cool. Yeah.
But do you know, like with this movie, like, do you know the deal Disney had with like Pixar? Disney owned all of this movie, despite Pixar being the ones who made it.
How?
Well, Pixar was pretty in a dire position that they were willing to take any offer they gave them. And the head of feature animation, I think, Thomas Schumacher, was really against the idea
Schumacher.
Yeah. Not.
Is he related to?
Not even close. No. He was like, wait, why are we getting this other studio to make an animated movie? We literally have an animated studio right here. And they kind of had a test run to see how it would be like to have a different studio make an animated movie with The Nightmare Before Christmas in 1993.
Who made that?
Skeleton Productions. That is Tim Burton's studio and released through Touchstone Pictures, which is a Disney brand. So that was the kind of test run of them doing it. So during this movie, have we talked about Jeffrey Katzenberg on this movie on any podcast? Okay, Jeffrey Katzenberg was the head of the head of the animation studio from 1984 to 1994, and he was described as a tyrant at the studio. But he was really the person who reinvigorated like the animation studio to put them making higher quality movies. And at this time, on this movie, he was like, he really interfered with the making of Toy Story. He was like, hey guys. We've got to make Toy Story edgy, man. We've got to put adult jokes in there. We've got to have, like, adult themes. We've got to have, like, you know, make the characters a little bit more cruel and stuff like that, you know, so the adults can get into it. And Pixar were like, wait, that's not the movie we wanted to make. Why are you doing this? But they had no choice but to listen to him. So on a Friday in 1993, I think, they went over to... They showed Disney what they had made so far of this movie. And, oh, God. It was the worst thing in the world. I will show you the part of the reel. But just so you know, John Lasseter called it, it was a movie with some of the meanest, most cruel and unlikable characters he had ever seen in his life. It's so bad that it is called Black Friday and it's considered the darkest day in Pixar history. Because when...
That's a bit...
Because when they did... Because after that...
What? Black okay. Friday was the death of Jesus, a hurricane that hit Oklahoma, and a day that Pixar failed. What?
Because here you go. Here's. It is one of the most Woody is probably one of the most unlikable characters I have seen.
Watch it though.
It'd be interesting to see this actually animated.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch it.
But at the same time, that is one of the most unlikable characters I've seen. And you know what Disney did? They shut the production down.
It sounds kind of sick.
No, because it... Because Arthur
Ray was... Wiener, get off the bed.
I would have held you... They would have held you... What was that? They would have held you away to Goodwill a long time ago. So shut your mouth and get them on the... My Jesus.
That sounds sick. And I want to watch that.
After that was done, Jeffrey Katzenberg...
R-rated Toy Story.
Jeffrey Katzenberg asked Thomas Schumacher why it was so bad. And Thomas... No. He asked Peter Schneider why it was so bad. And Peter Schneider was like... Because this isn't the movie they wanted to make anymore. And Thomas Schumacher, because he was the person who had it out for Toy Story from the very beginning, was like, he was like, kill it with fire. Because he wanted this movie dead instantly. So they shut down the production and it couldn't go on. The only way it was able to carry on was because Steve Jobs actively funded the movie until they went back to Disney, showed them what they had done. And Disney thought the movie was all right. So they put it back into production. It is quite similar to happened with Spike Lee on Malcolm X, where Warner Brothers shut down that production and he had to ask a bunch of favors to get that movie done. So it is an interesting story and it's a really interesting thing that like any movie can be saved with just a couple of rewrites. And even like even the worst movie can be made good and even the best movie could be made bad with the wrong people at the helm of it. So look at who did the screenplay for this movie. Does any of those names...
Joss Whedon. He did a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Joss Whedon wrote this movie. We just have the best people working on this movie now, don't we? But like, yeah.
What else did he make, Joss Whedon?
Oh, he directed a little movie you might have heard of called The Avengers.
Did he the first one?
Yeah.
I knew he did a Marvel movie.
Yeah, he might have. Yeah, he did Ultron.
So he did a good one and then...
Yeah, so that is crazy how Joss...
And Buffy.
Yeah, so we had Joss Whedon working on the script for this movie.
Oh, and there's a running theme through the people who are important to this film. You ever think they get together and like just like talk about?
Yeah, so
like on set, they were just like considering what they're gonna do with their future.
No, and something
he,
to
like,
keep in mind.
Off on it. He was like, yeah.
Something to keep in mind with this movie: the crew for this movie was 49 people. Do you know how much the crew for The Lion King was?
500.
800.
What the hell?
So this movie had a really small crew.
Because when you think about it, computer animation requires less people.
That is very true. And
it
yeah.
takes like 5 minutes to animate one character, like 10 frames.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. So because this was the first animated CGI any like movie, do you know how long it took to make not 1 second, but one frame of this movie?
10 hours.
4 to 13 hours to make one.
That's a bit like
frame.
That scene in Interstellar where it took like 1,000 hours to render a second of it.
And yeah, but that is fictional. imagine
like
sitting
that black hole. See, have you seen Interstellar?
No.
That black hole scene. You know, it took 1,000 hours to render every 2 seconds or something.
Really?
It's insane because it's so accurately done.
But like, imagine sitting down at a computer. Like, there, they still have fast computers. These are really fat, ugly computers that you're sitting at your computer every day going.
But they coded it, no?
What?
It's coded.
Yeah, but then no, you still have to like render it. They use the software they use is called RenderMan, and they still use that to this day. And it's like 4 to 13 hours of just sitting at your computer, just trying to make this thing work.
They still use it.
RenderMan, but it's a lot faster. It's a lot faster. I think when they were making cars in 2006, I think that it was like, I might be wrong, but I think it was called like 1,000 times faster. Than the computers they were using a
cars
story.
Is so I think
it's overhated.
The downfall of Cars is they killed off Paul Newman's character too early.
Well, he died in 2008. Like I don't really know.
But like I feel like it was a bit of a mistake. Yeah, like
well,
you could have.
They could have done the same thing they
you
did
could have
with
J.K. Simmons,
Jim Varney. Yeah. Jim Varney sadly passed in 2000. And if any of you guys have seen any of the Ernest movies, I'm yet to get to those movies. But like he was like the main star of the Ernest films, and when he died. When they did Toy Story 3, they literally got like one of his close friends who sounded the exact same as him. So, you know, there we go.
Yeah, but you could have had like J.K. Simmons voice him and that would have been fine.
Well, you know.
No, but they get rid of him. And I think the problem is that like the mental character is something that like always works. Mm. As in Cars 2, it's a bit of a like free fall. It's really enjoyable, but it's a free fall.
No, I don't like. It's no.
How do you not like what's essentially a mix between the Mafia and Carnage?
Yeah, no. It's
like,
one of
that's
those.
So good.
It's one of those movies where it's like, I'm just looking at it. It's like Cats. I'm looking at it. I'm so baffled by how this movie can even get made that it's not even like it's so bad it's bad. It is just like so bad it's good. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating kind of bad.
Yeah, because you've got.
Well, you look at it and you're like. How did this get the green light?
To put it simply, you've got a German scientist who sounds and looks a bit like a Nazi. And then you have the tracksuit mafia, which are a bunch of, what do they call them? Lemon cars. And they all look like they need dental surgery. And then you have a really flamboyant Italian race car.
Was it Francesco?
Francesco gets his ass kicked by Lightning McQueen. You meet Francesco's mum, who's... mildly racistly a exact same car but with a little blanket thing over her head
and it is the exact same car and I was like what is happening right now.
It's so fun. Mater
because if there's any character you needed to give
spy.
More
and then you've got Michael Caine and I think Hayley Atwell as two spies.
So basically with this movie to see how the animators, to see how the army men would move on like that floorboard, the animators nailed their shoes to an actual floorboard and started moving around.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Which is great because I'm so surprised people get paid to nail their shoes to a floorboard.
That is like the life of an animator is like, huh, I don't really know how this works. Let's just That's like for Fantastic Mr. Fox. You can see the videos online. George Clooney did all of the actions. And there's a video of him
eating
a pie.
Yeah, and he goes like...
Yeah, he doesn't even eat, he just throws it on his face.
Which is so cool, like how the animators just take that and it's, you know... But with this movie came out in 1995, and if you know, this is smack bang in the middle of the Disney Renaissance. And this movie, it wasn't really a top priority for Disney at the time. Their top priority was the same year, Pocahontas. Now, Pocahontas... I'm not even lying. At the time, Pocahontas they put everything into the marketing for Pagano's. Because after The Lion King became the smash hit the year before, they went from making movies in November to releasing them in July, like The Lion King in June. And Pocahontas had the biggest premiere in cinematic history at that time.
Pocahontas, have you seen the like real versus the animated version?
Like, I'm just going to show you. Like, that is the premiere for Pocahontas. Central Park. All of Central Park. So
to watch what's a mildly mediocre anime.
Yeah, I'm just gonna put it out there. I don't really like Pocahontas. It's like, it's borderline racist, really boring, and it's just, most it's so melodramatic. And again, it was Jeffrey Katzenberg trying to, after Beauty and the Beast got unexpectedly nominated for Best Picture, he was like, hey, guys, you know what we need to do? We need to make our movies more serious. Oscar bait. You know, let's make a sweeping love story with Mel Gibson and the animals don't talk. That's for kids. All right. All right. Good. Good. That's why. And he was like, yeah, you know, just make it more adult. That's going to get us a Best Picture nomination. And that's what he was doing on Toy Story as well until they told him to stop. And yeah, so that
yeah,
is.
Just, I don't know.
And they were banking on, they thought Pocahontas was going to be the biggest thing in the world. Like, they thought he was going to do like triple the numbers of The Lion King. And when Pocahontas came out the same year, because I'm going to have to get the list of highest grossing movies.
But it's like, Disney a lot kind of sacrifices the, like, integrity. Because a lot of their films are set abroad or based on cultures from
yeah,
out
but
of
like, when you're doing something like this, where you're both side, yeah, oh, the white British people were wrong, but the Native Americans were just as bad. Like, what?
Like, Mufasa,
how do you even say that?
You know the new, like, movie of The Lion King, yeah, the anime. The yes, the new thing that came out. What was it? It was Mufasa, right? Cool. Yeah, I was watching that, and I was like, "What? This isn't okay. You're mixing languages from like four different African cultures.
Oh, but like
all in one. All of the lions are South English for some reason. They all come from South London. Like all of the apart from the white lions that have to be Scandinavian. It's a bit like,
When Pocahontas came out, it did fine. Like, it had, like, a little under double the budget that Toy Story did. And while The Lion King did crazy numbers, it even beat out Forrest Gump the year before. I think it made about $700 million, which do you even know how much money that is nowadays, accounting for inflation? That's, like, $1.5 billion. Pocahontas only did $346 million. Which is like, no, it's good. Like, I'm looking now in terms of the highest grossing movies of 1995.
Is Randy Newman related to Paul Newman?
No. There's this big family of Newmans in terms of music. You got Thomas Newman, the guy who did the score to Matilda, Thomas Newman did Matilda. David Newman did like a bunch of other Pixar movies. But Pocahontas was the fifth highest grossing movie of 1995, which is good. But it wasn't doing what Disney expected. And with this movie, with Toy Story, they marketed it. But this movie was a lot harder to market than the ones before. You see, with this movie, there is no comic relief. Like, for example, with The Lion King, you can promote Timon and Pumbaa. Look, oh, Mulan, we've got Eddie Murphy. Oh, Jason Alexander. Oh, I'm looking at the bird here. Oh, look, Hercules. We've got Danny DeVito in this movie. I got a fur wedgie. Oh, look at me. And then you got Rosie O'Donnell and like Tarzan. You've got people that you can market. You can't really, there's no character in this movie where you could say, yeah, that's the main comedy guy. You know? No.
Mr. Potato.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, you wanted to Mr. Potato Head. Moitering dog. Like, is that what you want to tell to the kids? And I feel so fascinated because I always watch the original trailer for Toy Story. It's one of the most fascinating things because you can see them trying their hardest to market this movie. That's pretty.
What's the trailer?
It's them just. It's the whole. I can fly around the room without my eyes closed. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Can. To infinity and beyond. And it's like nothing's really happening. It's just like I can fly. No, you can't. Yes, I can. And it's not like you can have Robin Williams in the movie, like, you know, doing like stand up or like doing one of his stand up routines. Like you can have an Aladdin. There's nobody can do that. Tom Hanks is funny when he wants to be, but he's not that funny, you know. Tim Allen is kind of funny sometimes, but he's not the kind of person you can market. So everybody when this movie was
Robin Williams was so funny.
I know, but a lot of him could go along.
He was also a bit of a hypocrite.
Yeah, but
yeah, he did this thing where he was like, suicide is a permanent problem to a temporary issue. And then 3 days later, he takes his own life.
But, you know, he had a love going. It was.
I know, but, like, it was a bit
what
like.
What did he have?
There was something wrong with his brain. Yeah. Dementia. Like dementia. Stuff like that. So it wasn't like, oh, I want to take
so
my own life.
But he was so talented. It's a bit sad.
I know.
Especially, like, not even that he was just funny. Like, when you watch, like, Dead Poets Society or Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, a very good actor.
He's also, like, super, super talented. Like, beyond most of the comedy actors of his generation.
Yeah. And with this movie.
He would have been great in this. He could have done less funny.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But, like, with this movie, Disney wanted this movie to be a musical.
What?
Because this, again, it's smack bang of the Disney Renaissance. Like, before you had Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, and the only non-musical that they had made at that time, The Rescuers Down Under, had crashed and burned. So it's
Is that the London one with the birds? With the birds, and it's got, like, the stork, and it's the horrible lady with the...
No.
What's that? The mice.
That is the first Rescuers.
Oh, is it?
And it's not in London, it's in New York.
Yes.
I think.
Yes, it's in New York.
Yeah. And that movie was, it got very unlucky because it came out the same day as Home Alone. So.
But it's a good movie.
I can't imagine you doing very well. But, like, Pixar was like, no, we don't want to make a musical. We want to do something completely different. And Disney was like, what? What are you talking about? We always make musicals. And they kind of had this compromise where there would be songs in the movie. But just not, like, sung by the characters. So, the three songs, You've Got a Friend in Me, I Will Go Sailing No More, Strange Things, all done by Randy Newman. And Randy Newman is a,
Is he a colourful character too?
No. He's got a, I don't know. A lot of people don't like him, but it's like, I don't know. He's got a funny voice. He's got a funny voice, and I like his music. The actual score to this movie is one of my favourites of all time. And,
oh, my lord, that is...
In terms of like the actual in terms of the actual animation for this movie, to put into this movie came out 30 years ago, and obviously CGI has improved.
How soon was this after Tron?
I could get it exactly new. 13. Tron is 82. This is 95. So it's quite a way.
It's
and
quite a
in that space of time, you've had a lot. You've had like young Sherlock Holmes with the first ever CGI character. And of course, in 1993...
What does that guy look like from Young Sherlock Holmes?
I don't know.
Is he good?
Oh. It's I.
Oh, is he the robot knight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got it. Because I thought I was the only person who remembers that movie exists. But, like, yeah, you've got, like, that Stained Glass Knight. And Pixar did the animation for that Stained Glass Knight, actually.
It looks terrible, if I remember.
No, it's pretty decent for what it is.
Who plays Young Sherlock?
He looks like Paul Rubens. I'm not even gonna. But like, yeah. But in that
why
space,
it's so like thin and bendy.
No, because it's a stained glass, and it's like in that. Yeah, you had young Sherlock Holmes. Then you had in 1993, you had Jurassic Park, and nobody was really expecting the first CGI animated movie to be. Everybody was gonna expect it to be like this big one with big monsters and explosions, not this kids movie about toys. Like, what is that? What? And like, in terms of the animation, how it holds up, it holds up pretty alright. I mean, yeah, sure.
I mean, there's a weird discerning lack of, like, shadow sometimes.
Yeah.
Where things look really, like, washed.
Yeah,
otherwise, it's fine.
Pixar hit the nail on the head by creating a movie about toys who already look like plastic. So you don't have to focus on being realistic because you've already got that plasticky texture. You don't have to worry about that. And you can see with all the characters, they have short hair because Pixar couldn't animate long hair at the time, and yeah, Andy and Sid and the sister, they all look like Barbie dolls. I don't know.
Fine.
They're not focused on, so I never think about it.
Considering they made the creepy baby like leg thing that keeps reminding me of Rabbit from Guardians of the Galaxy 3, like.
But if you look at the baby in Tintoy, let me get it up. They have come a long way in terms of not making creepy humans.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm not even going to show you the video because it's really jerky movement. But like, yeah, they did come a long way with this movie. And the budget was 30 million. The Lion King was 45. So yeah, this movie cost a lot less.
You can kind of see the money. Considering
yeah, you can
time.
See it.
That's as long as it's like, Like, recently Godzilla Minus One came out, which is really good.
Yeah, and it's such a low budget. I'm like,
whoa. And it's, but you can really see the money on the screen with the animation. Like, yeah, it's amazing, the animation for Godzilla. Yeah. And it's similar to this, where the budget, it's quite big, but you can really see the, like, money.
Yeah.
Compared to, there's a lot of animated movies at the moment where it's a bit like, and, like, yeah, you spent the money, but I don't really, like...
I know. So, so this movie, yeah, came out November 22nd, 1995, and, yeah, it blew the doors off. It became, after...
What came out this year?
Well, I'm gonna get up highest grossing. So, in terms of high-grossing movies of 1995, Jumanji.
Braveheart.
Jumanji, Waterworld, Casper.
Waterworld was a CGI film as well.
No, but it had extensive CGI and didn't really recoup its cost.
It wasn't fully, but it did have...
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you see the budget...
It had the face where it came off and he was like a robot.
Underneath. Yeah. What did have quite a lot of CGI was Casper, and in my opinion, it kind of holds up in terms
it's
of CGI.
Fine.
Yeah.
Especially because it's a ghost. You don't really
Yeah, you don't like, think about it as much. Then you have Seven.
Yeah, it has the...
Seven was done by M. Night Shyamalan. No?
Oh,
am I wrong?
Seven?
David Fincher.
I'm not sorry. M. Night Shyamalan.
Sorry, he
What's
did signs. He did signs. I'm sorry. Sixth Sense, sorry.
Seven came out in 1995.
Yeah.
And that didn't win anything.
Well, we'll see. Batman Forever, which we will get to. Don't you wait. We will get to Batman Forever.
It's okay, guys. We won't submit you to that.
Pocahontas, GoldenEye, which is
It's
James
so
Bond.
Terrible. Batman Forever is terrible.
No, I'm not really defending it, but it's going to be an interesting movie to talk about it. Damn it.
I'm going
to
rant about it. I'm going to rant about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, that would be a good one to rant on. Like, yeah.
Why would you dye Jim Carrey's hair red and make him pale?
I don't know. We'll get into
it.
Like,
one of the most famous women actors of all time in Uma Thurman, only to make
her Batman Forever,
a sexualized Ivy.
She's in Robin. Batman and Robin.
But it's still, in both of them, she's pointless.
We'll get into everything.
There is no point.
GoldenEye, which is a James Bond movie. Yes. Bond. Apollo 13.
Is that not the only or one of the only 15 rated?
Really? Is that the first? Okay. And then you had Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks. And then you had Toy Story number 2. Something I noticed, the box office is really low for 1995. Is there a reason for that?
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah, okay. So by 1995, however, the average cost of making movies and marketing had doubled since. So turning a profit became difficult. That's why it's slightly lower. But Toy Story, second highest grossing movie of that year. In terms of reception, this movie was critically lauded as like essentially the next Snow White.
It had until last year 100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
No, it still does.
No, it fell. I swear it fell last year.
No, it still does. Along that and the second one have 100%.
I thought at some point it dropped because one critic gave it a bad review and it got to 99.
No. Yeah. So in terms of Academy Awards...
Maybe it's come back up.
In terms of Academy Awards, it got 4 nominations. Best Original Musical or Comedy Score. So just original song. Best original song for You've Got a Friend in Me. Best original screenplay, which... Can I put into perspective?
It won that.
That is... No, it didn't. It didn't. It is so hard for an animated movie to get nominated for best screenplay anything. Like, I think the last time that happened was Shrek?
Shrek?
Yeah, for best adapted screenplay.
What? Shrek?
Which, I love the movie, but...
What is a memorable line from Shrek? That is like well written.
No. I really like Shrek, so I'm not gonna complain. But I understand why you're complaining because like yeah, it's slightly overblown.
It's Shrek. It's funny, but like,
And then,
the only thing that makes it okay, this is a bit far, but one of the only things that makes it worth watching is Eddie Murphy.
No. Shrek is good. Shrek is really good.
Yeah, but the writing isn't like.
And with that, like you. I think every single animated movie has either taken from either Shrek or Toy Story in terms of how you make one. Like, modern dialogue, you know, but still a good heart, you know. And you can even say Shrek is essentially taking the idea of Toy Story, but taking it to more a cynical, a more mean extreme. Like, with the culture references and more cynicism against Disney and stuff like that. But with this movie, it also was given a special achievement award.
For what?
For progression in terms
it's like,
of...
we can't give you enough Oscars.
Yeah, we you're animated, so I don't think we're going to give you a best picture. But hey, here's a special achievement award. Hey, there you go.
So what were the Oscars looking like this year? Braveheart won what? Sorry? Braveheart of Mel Gibson? Of him in a Scottish accent going, show him your asses, and then getting shot.
I'm looking. Okay, Braveheart really, won Best Picture.
The Academy just hate. They hate Kevin Fincher. David Fincher.
David Fincher didn't get nominated.
You know when Seven came out, they had to keep Kevin Spacey off the casting list because if he was on it, it'd be too obvious he was the villain and it would ruin the film.
Wow, imagine that, Kevin Spacey being a villain in something. Okay.
What is it with this year in colorful characters?
Mel Gibson won directing. Great, we got Mel Gibson. Just keep putting more people on there. My boy Nicolas Cage won for...
Nicolas Cage, have you seen him talking about his acting thing? He's like, I like to do a shaman ritual. I pretend I'm performing for society because it builds up that anger inside of me. And then it's like, yeah, I can see it when you cage rage in every other film. And you just like...
Braveheart won Best Cinematography. Best Sound went to Apollo.
Braveheart is fine, but like I don't really understand why that would win so much.
Toy Story lost to Pocahontas for Best Original Score.
It's fine. It's just a bit like, it's weird. It's like Mel Gibson being inspirational and attempting to also be funny, and then one of the main villains has leprosy, and it's just really weird looking at him because he's like got loads of boils, but I don't really know what leprosy is, so I was just kind of freaked out.
Yeah, then...
And then there's a whole rule where in Braveheart, like, someone gets to sleep with the wife on the first day of the marriage. So, like, basically Mel Gibson is not having that. So he decides he's going to, like, run away with his wife. But then his wife gets killed and he decides, right, that's enough of the British. I'm going to, like, end them all. And then he goes on, like, a full crusade. Then it's really
what's
funny.
An odd year for better...
Because they go life. See him. They go see him and they're like, oh, what happened to being 8'2" and, like, farting fire or something? And he's like... That's the legends, not the real me, or something. And it's like, what?
Wait, slight tangents here. Is Babe a good movie?
Babe is kind of terrible.
No, because it got a Best Writing nomination at the Oscars. I'm like, oh, I don't
know.
It's
a bit average.
I mean, it's Babe is like, it's not the strangest thing George Miller's ever made.
Babe is like To Kill a Mockingbird, but more for kids.
I mean, like...
It's like, let's teach kids morals, but with a pig that's sentient and a spider.
Well, if you like that, I'm sure you'll like Happy Feet.
I love Surf's Up. Surf's Up. That scene where they're like, have you got any other talents? And he's like, what? Like singing and dancing? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, no.
I've not seen Surf's Up in like 10
they,
years.
They call out Happy Feet. And then they present in the same scene, they proceed to have like some of the hardest lines I've heard Sheila be ever. He's like, how old are you? I'm 17 years of age. And it's like, everyone wants me to do this and be there. And Cody's that. Cody's this. Cody's me, bro. Let me be me. If you haven't seen, I think we may have to do Surf's Up.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's a banger.
This movie...
Have you not seen it? The cast is really
again,
incredible.
Again, it's definitely one that's past your time. Yeah. Sheila I mean, 2007 Booth. Isn't... Don't bring us... Please, we're going to start with just, like, the bad people. We're going to start with
And what's
start
his name?
It.
Kevin, the guy from The Big Lebowski. The main guy.
John Goodman?
No, the, like, bowling guy. The Big Lebowski, the fella, the guy himself.
John Goodman.
No, what's his name? The one who like smokes a joint in the car and he has to like pat himself down. Jeff Bridges is in it.
Mm.
And Zooey Deschanel, in one movie.
Does
and
he play Chicken Joe or does he play like Big Z?
He plays Big Z.
How do I remember the names of these characters?
Chicken
oh
Joe's
my god, what
goat.
Am I doing?
Chicken Joe is so funny. Like, easily better than Shrek. Easily. Oh, with like wow. When he's like, I know Cody's out here. I can feel it in my nuggets. And then he like adopts some penguins and they become like his clan.
But yeah, with this movie, in 2005.
It's so good.
In 2005.
That's your homework, so you gotta watch it.
In 2005, it was inducted into the National Film Registry, which it
Fair
takes
enough.
10 years for a movie to be allowed to be put in the registry. So the fact that they put it at the 10 year mark kind of obviously shows how influential and important it is. And it was on AFI's, the American Film Institute, top 10 animated films. And it was on... Oh.
Along with... Good ones.
I don't... AFI...
More importantly, what beat it out? Akira, maybe.
I doubt it, because it's mostly those popular, like,
Akira's a bit of an odd one. Is it good? I was going to get around to watching it, but I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like... I feel like it might be exactly my kind of movie, though. Yeah. And the Akira slide...
Yeah, obviously iconic.
Is potentially, in my opinion, one of the most iconic action.
I don't know the list, but...
Along with, what, like, A113, obviously. Mm.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it in Nope and clocking it in Nope. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen Nope.
Yeah.
And she does the slide, and I remember clocking it and thinking, that's really cool that he's done that.
Mm. I don't know the list exactly, but you got Pinocchio.
Also, I feel like anime movies get a really low rep, but like...
No, they're just not like... They're not Western.
A lot of famous directors really love them. Mm. There was one movie, it's not Gone Girl, it was a very famous movie, and he was like... the director like called out an anime movie and said, like, oh, I was really inspired by this film. And then his next film, the director of the anime film, basically, like, sued him because it was almost a shot-for-shot copy.
Really?
But live action.
Black Swan and...
Yes, Black Swan and...
Perfect Blue?
Perfect Blue, yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, that's quite interesting, but... No, like, most of it's just popular animation. Well, mostly Disney ones. Pinocchio, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, Toy
Pinocchio.
Story. That is one of the greatest animated movies I've ever seen. Finding Nemo, Snow White.
Who voices Thingy in that? The little bug?
What's his name?
Do you know
him? I think
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Wait,
oh, no, in that... In like, but it's a fellow called Cliff Edwards. Again, I've got way too much knowledge on this.
Impressive.
The only non-Disney animated movie in the list is Shrek, so there you go.
Thumbs Up deserves it, man. But I'm telling you, first time you meet Big Z, he's got like a massive like acid thing from stepping on a... I watched it with my sister because my dad was like, find a movie you can both watch. I did not expect it to be as good as it was. A surfer...
It's on Netflix or something.
I think so, yeah. Steps on an urchin and then... He's like in pain, and then you get an interview with the urchin.
It is on my watch list.
He's like,
right,
man,
now.
I think I stepped on an urchin, and then it goes, the urchin stepped on me. He destroyed me. Look,
oh my
broken,
God,
broken,
the
broken, broken, broken.
But the sequel is so bad. I remember watching that thing, I kid you not, Vince McMahon as an otter.
I think that's me. 4.5 stars. It's a masterpiece. No. And then Big Z pees on the main penguin.
It's not as bad as the second one, where Vince McMahon literally...
It's an ad for WWE.
He sucks on a fish's udder. Oh my God. And I'm not even messing with you. Wow. Okay, and Toy Story. Toy Story was also on AFI's top 100 movies of all time.
I reckon we need to do a quick roundup because we're running out of time. Well, 5 stars, obviously. It's a great film.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, no. I'm 4.5.
Oh yeah, to be fair.
I really like it a lot.
Is it top 10 favorite films?
Oh yeah, but that doesn't mean like The Fablemans is in my top 20, but like it's still a 4.5.
It's like favorite versus top 20 is different for me.
Yeah, like you know, it's
4.5. I'd agree.
Yeah,
I'll settle. What a good movie! If you haven't seen it, genuinely, what are
that
you
is
doing?
We have gone tonight to 20 movies.
20 movies.
So we will talk about all 20 tomorrow.
If you haven't seen Toy Story, genuinely, what are you doing?
Yeah, I should go get a job. Yeah. You know, I met a kid who hadn't seen The Lion King, and I was like, just like, what are you doing with your life?
How? My question is how? If you've seen that and if you haven't seen Toy Story and you've seen any of the other films we've covered on this podcast, like, actually, how?
Yeah, watch that before you do, like, Man on
500 Days of Summer or something. Like, actually, to be fair, watch from... And watch Surf's Up.
Before you go watch Ready Player One, definitely.
Watch Surf's Up, because we are going to talk about this.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the ones that we're hoping
We're
going to
talk
do.
About Surf's Up, because existentialism, explained in a kid's movie about penguins, is the most mind-blowing concept I've ever heard.
But we will touch on the movies that we would like to do. Okay. Like... Hint, hint, nudge, I want to do Batman Forever. I'm very unhappy that I didn't get into it this time.
Okay. I've been Eddie.
I've been Noah.
This has been Lycos and Ostra. Thank you for listening.